In a few moments, I will sign the North American Free Trade Act into law. NAFTA will tear down trade barriers between our three nations. It will create the world's largest trade zone and create 200,000 jobs in this country.
20 years ago this month, President Bill Clinton signed the North American Free Trade Agreement, NAFTA, into law. The goal was to increase trade among the U.S., Canada, and Mexico. In turn, it was supposed to spur job growth. Another NAFTA goal was to elevate Mexico's economy. The effect of that was supposed to slow down illegal immigration into the United States. Here's how presidential candidate Ross Perot described NAFTA during a 1992 debate.
You can move your factory south of the border, pay a dollar an hour for your labor, have no environmental controls, no pollution controls, and no retirement, and you don't care about anything but making money, there will be a giant sucking sound going south.
20 years on, NAFTA has produced winners and losers. Seattle Times economic columnist John Talton says Washington State's one of the winners. And John, before we talk about why, I wanted you to take us back in history. How did NAFTA come about in the first place?
Well, NAFTA had overt reasons I don't want to say covert, but less known reasons. It was sold to the public as something that would create a lot of jobs, and people bought that because we were at the time the world's largest trading nation, the world's largest exporter. We had gone through tremendous job growth and were going to see a record spurt in the 90s. And it was also sold as a way that we could elevate Mexico's economy and stem illegal immigration. And now the less known reasons were that corporations wanted to invest in Mexico. They wanted to have a guarantee that their assets would not be nationalized, as happened in the 1920s.
You say Washington State ended up a NAFTA winner. Why do you say that?
Well, we are a very high-quality, high-powered trading state. And so while there are a lot of losers, 700,000 manufacturing jobs lost, especially in places like the Midwest, the kinds of things that we tend to make here are very high-skilled, and not just airplanes. And we're also a transit point for Alaska oil, so we get to count some of that into our trade numbers. Washington State has some agricultural niches that go south of the border. And then there's also an interesting Canada angle to NAFTA, too, but we can talk about that later.
Well, I have to ask about the sucking sound that Ross Perot referred to. Those 700,000 lost jobs, were those sucked down south of the border?
Yeah. I mean, Perot was right. And this was the first time that we had ever seen an agreement of this kind at all, so far-reaching. But also, NAFTA created a lot of jobs. But NAFTA also caused a lot of dislocation and lost jobs, especially for the blue-collar middle class. And so a lot of winners, a lot of losers, and it continues. Things got a lot worse when China came into the WTO.
Let's talk about Canada a second. Is still the U.S. Number one trade partner, unless China has replaced Canada.
It is, although it is Washington's number three trade partner, interestingly enough, behind China and Japan. Mexico is number six. Canada and the U.S. signed a free trade agreement in 1989, and then NAFTA was to bring Mexico into this. And one of the fascinating aspects of NAFTA is that it did very little to stop the longest-running trade dispute probably in modern history, and that's between the United States and Canada over softwoods. And this particularly affects the Pacific Northwest. We have argued that Canada subsidizes unfairly its softwood harvest, and it's hurt Washington and Oregon timber mills. It's gone before NAFTA tribunals where we've been ruled against and we didn't pay any attention to it.
We're talking on about the 20th anniversary of the signing of this trade agreement. And when you look back 20 years, I don't think a lot of us conscious, probably you're the only one who consciously thinks about it. A lot of us don't. Overall, even if Washington was a winner, do you count it as a good thing for the United States?
I think it is a very mixed bag. I mean, as a much younger journalist, I remember interviewing Carla Hills, who was then the lead negotiator on this for the first Bush administration, and the promises that were made were not fulfilled. And this was not all due to malevolence on the part of the corporate elites, although they certainly wanted to get what they wanted to get as far as cheap labor. But they, the overall effect was to start this downward motion on the part of wages that has especially affected the blue-collar middle class. Winners, Microsoft has gotten much better intellectual property protections, and not just Microsoft. There was a tremendous amount of dislocation in Mexico when American agriculture came in, and Mexico had these very small-scale farms. These people lost their jobs, and where did they come? They went El Norte. They came to the United States.
Interesting. We're going to bring you in another time to talk about what the impact of NAFTA on upcoming treaties might be. John Talton writes about business for the Seattle Times. Nice to see you again.
It's great to be here.
From KUOW, it's The Record with Ross Reynolds. I'm Marcy Silman.